John chapter 20, verses 6 through 8. And Simon Peter came, following John, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, John, who came to the tomb first, went in also. And he saw and believed. History, it's been said, is just news from a graveyard. Who coined the phrase? Bored student? A grieving mourner? A cynical professor? Regardless, history is just news from a graveyard until his story reveals the news of the empty grave. Simon Greenleaf, an authority on legal evidence, concluded that Jesus' resurrection is the best documented fact of history. Acts 1. Jesus showed himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs. There are only four religions that claim that they came about by God revealing himself through a person. And yet, Jews, Buddhists, Muslims all agree that Abraham, Buddha, and Muhammad are all dead in their graves. But Jesus' grave is empty. He lives. In fact, right at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus laid claim to being the Christ by his resurrection that was yet to come. Christianity alone among religions is God revealing himself to man. God sacrificing himself for the sins of the world. God demonstrating the certainty of that forgiveness with infallible proof by his resurrection, and so opening our graves. History is just news from a graveyard until God reveals the event that man would have never dreamed of. The event that breaks the monotony of history. Jesus died and lives forevermore. You know, this news had to be from a grave, because the grave is the ultimate destruction of all man's hopes and dreams in this world. The ultimate demonstration that sin has separated us from God. And the ultimate battlefield. Hebrews chapter 2. Jesus shared our flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of the death, that is the devil, and release us from the bondage and fear of death. That battle victory has given us grace in exchange for grace. Jesus gave his life as a substitution for all your sins. And in exchange for that, Jesus gives us his resurrection life, the life with God that lives forevermore. The grave was such a subject of intense interest on Easter morning that the gospel accounts refer to it 32 times. And the Apostle John made such a careful observation of that empty grave that 70 years later, when he wrote this gospel, he could still see it vividly. He describes for us that tomb. And what was it that so impressed him? Well, yes, that it was empty. But more, the linen cloths that had been wrapped around Jesus' body were not unwrapped, torn off in a jumble, but lying there in an undisturbed, orderly condition. And the linen that had been wrapped around his head was lying in its own place, still wrapped together. They hadn't been unwrapped or carried away or haplessly discarded as if in a grave robbery, but stood there as evidence that Jesus apparently miraculously passed through those linen cloths in his glorified life. Do you remember how many times the angels pointed to this evidence? Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Yes. All history is just news from a graveyard until we also believe Jesus lives. But haven't others risen bodily from the dead? Well, yes, God raised Lazarus, the young man at Nain, Jairus' daughter, but each of them had to die again. Jesus is the first bodily resurrection of whom it could be said, He dies no more, He lives forevermore. But like Peter and John, how often does our journey to Jesus' grave actually start at another grave? The grave of fear, doubt, and sin. But it is the empty grave of Jesus that assures us that He has given to you the life that has been cleansed of all of your sins and therefore freed from fear. The life that is to be made like Jesus Himself, righteous before God forever. The life lived in the very presence of God forevermore. 70 years after he saw that empty grave, exiled on the island of Patmos for telling people about Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle John could not help go on telling the news any way that he could, writing this gospel. What about us? It's been said that the ultimate measure of a person's commitment is what they're willing to do for the generations whose thanks they will not be here to hear. If we are living by faith, our life and purpose will only make sense in the light of Jesus' empty grave. The cults are swarming like vultures to a slaughter. Swamping the world with their lies. The heterodox are flocking like flies to rotten meat. Flooding the world with their exaltation of human works. The living dead of this world, like zombies, are sucking multitudes into the sordid pleasures of sin. But what about us? What are we doing? Praise the Lord that good news of Jesus' empty grave forgives, removes also the sin and guilt of our failures to live by faith. But that empty grave also continually shatters the grave-like hold of every excuse, every indifference, every wrong priority. This empty grave is the news to proclaim, and all the louder when the world is trying to drag us into its grave. For all history is just news from a graveyard until his story is the news of the empty grave. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. We'll conclude with hymn 189. 189.